Now, a man who's seen everything there is to see in commercial real estate, but understood very little of it, Building Engine's Senior Vice President, Scott Sidney.
Thank you again for that warm introduction, and welcome to this episode of the CRE Tech Talks program. Again, I am your host, Scott Sidman. Today's topic is commercial real estate and big data. Finally, some practical applications. While big data and commercial real estate has been a hot topic at every industry conference that I've attended for the past several years, and I think most people have, I think one of the takeaways from it, there's been a noticeable lack of while this sounds great, what does it mean for us and what do we do and what are the applications and products that we can use that apply big data principles to them? So we have with us today, fortunately, perhaps our most academically accomplished guest and a terrific and passionate speaker on the topic. Lindsay Baker is Vice President of Business Development for Building Robotics, and they're very interesting products called Comfy, as well as a PhD candidate in building science at UC Berkeley. Welcome, Lindsay, and thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Great. Well, let's start as we always do by having you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in real estate. And as always, share one unique or unusual fact about yourself for our listeners.
Sure. Well, so I've been working in commercial real estate for probably about 12 years now. I came straight out of school and went to the U.S. Green Building Council at a time when LEED was just getting off the ground. So it was an interesting time to be there, an interesting time to get to see the industry changing and moving towards a more sustainability focus and people really understanding that there's ways to change what we do without really compromising too much of, the bottom line. It was a really fun time. It also happened to be around the time that I picked up bluegrass music. I'm a bluegrass musician and my family is, so we all play together and go to bluegrass festivals and that kind of thing. So little known fact about me, spend a lot of time with music and, kind of that old time thing where people sit on the porch and, have a glass of whiskey and play a few tunes. It's a pretty good way to take some stress off at the end of the day.
Well, that sounds really good.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun. So if this whole building technology thing doesn't work out, at least you have a secondary career ready to.
I'm looking forward to that secondary career. I have to tell you, working on a startup definitely takes a lot out of you. So maybe my next gig will be just having a little venue somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. We'll just hang out and play music all day.
Completely relate to that. Sounds like a good plan. Well, it's interesting. Your USGBC background and LEED in general kind of reminds me kind of the early days of that and how there was a lot of conversation, but not a lot of practical applications out there, on the energy and sustainability side. So it's really interesting your transition. So kind of a good time. Tell us a little bit about Building Robotics and Comfy and the team there and what your mission is, what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So Building Robotics was started as a collaboration really between computer science and building science. So our founders are computer scientists who are doing their PhDs at Berkeley. And I met them actually both through doing my PhD at Berkeley in building science and also through working with Google's real estate team on essentially, how do we make Google's facilities really stellar? How do we make them the best possible environments for people who go to work there, and how do we reduce their environmental footprint? And so we met because people were interested in this idea of this product that these guys had made at Berkeley, sort of on the side during their research, where they had actually learned how to kind of hack into buildings. They had figured out how all these building management systems work. They'd gotten obviously some permission from various people on campus there to take a look at these things and understand how we might be able to optimize them. So we met a couple of years ago and raised a couple rounds of funding over the past couple of years. We're 17 people now here in downtown Oakland. And we've really just been growing and building out really a very exciting business. It's a team that works on this piece of software that's essentially looking to make people much more comfortable at work, along with saving a bunch of energy. So we're having a lot of fun, and it's so far been a wild ride. So the whole software startup world is everything they make it out to be. But really our passion is to try to make buildings more people-centric, to make them more intelligent. And we think those two go together really well. And that's sort of what the market's demanding of buildings as we move into the future. Everything's getting smarter, right? And so people are going to want their buildings to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Especially their office buildings where they spend so much time. So that's been a big focus for us, and that's sort of where we are today.
Great. And tell me a little bit about what does the product actually do? So how do people use Comfy?
Sure. So Comfy is essentially a piece of software that sits on top of a building management system, and it allows people to go in and have a friendlier interface for temperature in their space. So if you were an occupant in a building, you would basically come in one day to a bunch of friendly people with some balloons and some donuts, and they'd say, hey, there's a new way to control the temperature in your space. And that would be our customer success team, and, you know, they're kind of doing their launch day thing. Then you would go to your desk, and you'd log in using your corporate email address, and you'd essentially get access to the Comfy interface. You choose your location on a map, which we make that map. And then you have three simple buttons, warm my space, I'm comfy, cool my space. And if you push, say, cool my space, it's going to do two things. It's actually going to send you 10 minutes of cool air on demand. And then it's also going to use machine learning to influence the set points over time for that particular area at that particular time. So over time, what we're doing is really tuning the building just to what people need. No more and no less. But by giving that sort of immediate reaction, we also manage to get them excited about this thing that they have access to that makes them feel much more connected to the building, and also helps them dealing with issues around sharing and temperature, which happen a lot in the office. So we tackle all those issues and try to bring them into a really elegant and fun way for people to interact with temperature.
Well, that's really interesting. That's a unique way of doing this. And how would you describe the correlation between big data and what you're doing, which also seems to fit in somewhere between the smart building concept and building automation space, as you're kind of using both of those in what you do, it seems.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly between those two. That's right. What it is that we are looking at a lot of data. It's not super big data, you know, it's not sort of at this scale of what I think a lot of companies do where there's, you know, billions of points of data. But we're looking at the data in the building. We're looking at all the building management system data. We're looking at data that people are giving us of when they are warm and when they're cool. And we're analyzing that data to produce then the outcome so that we can control the building better. So it is, you know, it's a lot of data. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of different tools to keep track of it, both to monitor our buildings and see what's going on, and then also to actually do the automatic control. And that's, I think, the coolest thing about where we are today is that when we look at the landscape of how buildings are starting to use data, one of these issues is that you get so much data you can't possibly, you know what to do with it, and you just end up looking at the three kind of pieces you understand really well. We think that there's really an opportunity to help with that, both through machine learning and then also through just better visualization of data, better, you know, helping people understand it and helping kind of be a bit of a human face to that stuff so that everyone's not just kind of staring at line graphs all day, because it's for those of us who are academics, we love that stuff. It's probably not what everyone else wants to do with their time.
Right. For the end user, I think that visualization piece is super important, and it sounds like you've understood that, and you're applying what you do to that well. And also interesting in that, in terms of the data you're looking at, you have two types of data. You have the machine-based data and then crowdsourced data, and you're blending those together. So kind of what's the mix there, and how do you apply both of those things to the algorithms you're using to monitor or to adjust the building temperature and make the decisions you do?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it gets to, I think, one of the big questions that our clients have moving when they start out with us, which is basically, how are you going to balance people's preferences and what they're telling you they want with the way the building should sort of work? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to that. The first thing that we're doing is when we go into a building, the building manager is actually going to tell us the sort of bookends of temperature that they want to allow their spaces to float within. So it's essentially like what you do with a thermostat that has a toggle switch of plus or minus 2 degrees or something like that. But we're going to give them more width on that. We're going to say plus or minus 5 degrees, because the occupants then get to pick where they want it to be through comfy. And that actually ends up being a much, much happier, much better environment. People really love that ability to customize within there. But the key is, it's never going to be that, you know, someone can click so many times that they get their space to be, you know, 80 degrees in the wintertime or something along those lines.
Right.
There are very particular bounds. It's also worth saying that over the years, at this point, I guess the product's been in development for 5 years or so. There's been a lot of learning and a lot of expertise spent on making sure that the building systems perform well when we go in there, and make sure that everything kind of, you know, that all of the different kinds of building management systems are well tuned to what we're doing, and all of that kind of stuff. So you really have to pay attention to a great amount of detail about how mechanical systems work when you're trying to do this. It's not as simple, but it is simple for the occupant, complicated on the back end as to how we kind of balance that.
Well,
but really, in the end, we are really tuning. And ultimately, you know, the occupants are very much being heard. They get to, we have zones and that we service with comfy that like to be between 76 degrees and 80 degrees in the Phoenix, Arizona. That's where they like it, you know. And so those guys get to have what they want, and they're actually saving a lot of energy there because they wanted it to be a little bit closer to the outdoors.
Oh, that's interesting.
And similarly, you know, in other spaces and in colder climates, a lot of times people end up on the cold end of the spectrum because it's what they like. Not everybody, but again, that's sort of the nice thing about comfy, is we can do what people want when they want it, and we don't have to worry about the lowest common denominator problem that has been kind of nagging us all for a few decades.
Right. Well, if you were in any Boston buildings this winter, we would have all wanted it at 76 to 80 for sure for about 2 months.
that would have
been nice. You've mentioned a couple times the term machine learning. Can you define that a little bit for us and tell me what that means?
Sure. Yeah. So machine learning is also known as artificial intelligence. But really what it is, and it's just math. It's pretty complicated math, but essentially what it's doing is it's taking a whole bunch of inputs, all of our votes that, you know, people voting that they want to be warmer and cooler. It's taking the outside temperature, the temperature of the zone, the time of day, day of week. Right, and it's going to take all of those and it's going to run an equation and it's going to find out what's the best temperature for this zone at this time. And then it's going to, you know, control to that point. But then the thing that's necessary to think about machine learning is that then it's going to rerun that all the time. It's going to rerun that equation and it's going to find out, okay, what's optimal now? And then it's going to learn based on what it sees over time, and gradually, you know, it's votes get 3, 4, 5 months away in the past, it'll gradually forget them. And the ones that happened more recently, it will weight more heavily. So there's a lot about it that's just fairly basic math, but it's but then it gets more and more complicated as you're adding more and more data in, so that eventually the building is sort of, you know, has all sorts of things going on differently. And over time, you see that if you come in at, you know, 9 a.m. every morning, for example, but the HVAC system turns on at 7, then your zone is going to have a wider dead band until 9 a.m. because no one's there.
Sure.
And then when people start clicking and they want it to be a little warmer typically in the morning, that's a very, very common thing for people, then you actually, you'll see, you know, that the dead band, the minimum set point, the heating set point will go up. So that it starts to actually turn the heat on a little bit more. And then, you know, it sort of does that over the course of the day. So if you think about what a comfy dead band will look like, it's really that it's very very dynamic. It looks a little bit like, you know, there's little curves in it and things where people want it cooler in the afternoon and people want it warmer in the morning. And so you get to achieve that without them having to go back in and enter it all the time.
Wow.
It's a big trend, obviously, in software and in the technology world today is that, you know, things are going to start remembering, oh, yes, you go to this grocery store all the time and this is what you always buy, or, you know, through the kinds of things that you typically buy on Amazon, and it'll recommend that maybe you want to buy it again, all that kind of stuff. So this is just another way of doing something along those lines.
Wow, that's really interesting, which kind of great statement, because it leads me into my next question. And just do you get concerns about privacy with regard to the data you collect and analyze, and how would you address that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something you have to pay a ton of attention to in a field like this. Way more than any other, I think, technology or innovation in the workplace that we've had to deal with to date. So we have a lot of things. We have a privacy policy for the occupants. We have a privacy policy for the building management. And those things have all sorts of information about them, just like Amazon has to, just like Apple has to, about what we will and won't use your data for. All of that stuff, it's pretty elaborate. It's also something that people don't look at as much. And, you know, you have to sort of be upfront with people to make sure that they know roughly what this is. So, you know, for us, it's really going to the, I think when we're first selling it, the building management folks tend to be the ones that speak for the building and want to find out more about how that all works. We've typically been able to do lots of different layers of security depending on what people need. There's corporate firewalls, and there's obviously a lot of internet security in terms of data encryption, that kind of thing. But I will say, it is one of those things, if you're in commercial real estate and you're thinking about software and you're thinking about technology tools, it's really important to have folks on your team who know about data security, who know about encryption and a lot of those kinds of very technical subject. You really need that. And it's something that we've been very lucky to have a team that's pretty experienced in that realm. So we can do whatever the IT folks need us to do, I guess, is one way of putting it.
Absolutely. And if nothing else, know the right questions to ask. And I think you provided some insight into that right here, which is great. Obviously, so much of this is tenant-focused. Are there any things you've learned that have been interesting about tenant behavior, or, you know, what you're doing impacts the tenant experience and their overall satisfaction, which, you know, we all think about in terms of being comfortable in our space, but what have you learned?
Yeah, we've learned so much. We're actually just getting ready to start a little blog series where we're going to talk about some of these larger trends, anonymously, of course, right, but larger trends that we see in how people temperature preferences work and how they come and go. One of the ones we're excited about is to talk about how I guess we've done some analysis based on, you know, men and women, and have not in fact found any difference statistically speaking between men and women, which I think is pretty amazing.
Dispelling a lot of myths.
Yeah, that was surprising to me, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's apparently true, at least from what we're seeing so far in our usage data. You know, I mentioned a couple of the other ones that I think are really important. One is that, you know, people always wonder how Comfy manages to make people happy when you have to share temperature with other folks. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we found is that people who run cold, the kinds of people who sort of, you know, we all know that we're on a bit of a spectrum there, the types of people who run cold tend to want to be warmer in the morning. And they don't actually have a lot of needs in the afternoon, whereas the people who run hot tend to need to be a little cooler in the afternoon. So you actually can make both groups happy because they tend to be at the sort of peak of their discomfort at different times. And so we're able to really tune a lot of those zones where that kind of happens. And also there's things like, you know, the sun coming in the afternoon kind of warms up the space a little bit more than people anticipate, all those kinds of things. So it's a ton of really interesting information that I think has been really validating for us, because it's shown us that this stuff is complicated, you know, comfort, it's unpredictable, all of that. But when you start to see the trends, it's something that's really, there's just so much we've been able to do to make people happier in their space. We get very, you know, we do all these surveys after people have been using Comfy for a while. And the last one we did, I think it was 83% of people were more to much more satisfied with their comfort than before Comfy had been put in place. So it's really working. And it's really satisfying to see that however complex, you can still tackle these things. It's not too much to handle.
That's terrific. I mean, just those insights alone, I think, are just so incredibly valuable to a property management team when you think about what they can do to make their tenants happier and their experience better in their building. So that's great to know you can do that. And that'll be really interesting to read your blog series once you guys start publishing some of that data. So let's talk about the kind of buildings you work in and where this works best. Do you have an ideal kind of building profile that makes sense for where Comfy would work best?
Sure. Well, obviously our hope is that we'll get in lots of buildings all over the place, and we built Comfy to be applicable to as many different types of buildings as we can. Mm-hmm. But like any good business owner will tell you, you have to start somewhere. And we've started with owner-occupied buildings because it's typically a little bit easier. For us, the value of adding to people's comfort in the space and also the value of energy, they're not always contained within the same person. You know, if you have a landlord-tenant situation and the leases can be different, it can be a little more complicated. So our focus has been on owner-occupied buildings. It's also been focused on the kinds of buildings that have VAVs, variable air volume boxes, as the primary way to get air in and out of the building. And that has been a particularly good fit for us for a lot of reasons. It provides that little bit of that immediate responsibility that we find is so critical. But other than that, you know, we've worked with all the major building management systems now, a lot of different climate zones. We're now going into India, which is exciting, but we're all over the States. And it's really, I think, you know, office spaces have been primarily where people used it, but we're interested in talking to folks about using it in other spaces as well. There's a lot of interesting ideas that we can, you know, a lot of different places we can take it, but that's where we're starting. And, you know, I think generally our clients tend to be the types of folks who are looking to do something really nice for their tenants, maybe because people are a little more uncomfortable than average, or maybe just because they want to do something to, you know, really highlight the awesomeness of their facilities team. And sometimes it's, you know, just for energy. So it really runs the spectrum, I guess.
Okay. And maybe then talk a little bit about typical deployment, how you charge for the service, as well as, is there a payback period or ROI model for the system as well that, you know, that people can look towards?
Sure. Yeah, so typical deployment, we're a software as service company. So it's pure software. There's no installation charge, and it's pretty quick to get in. We typically have about a 3 to 4 week ramp-up time to get all the little things we need and just to plan the launch day, to be honest, to figure out, you know, which donuts are we going to buy and all that. So, you know, there's little things like that. But we do, so that it's pretty basic, and then people just have a month-to-month service that they pay for, and it's by square footage. So that's, you know, there's a little bit of a minimum, but it's 25,000 square feet, and we go into lots of small spaces where people get to try it out, you know, kind of just to see how it works before they go into a larger building, which is fun and nice that we can do that scalably. And then we basically do price it based on what we're seeing the energy savings to be. We don't actually price in sort of a savings-based model or an ESCO model or anything like that. But we've gathered a lot of data from our early clients to understand how much they're saving, and that's where we've established our price point. So we do anticipate that people should, in many cases, break even. The whole thing should be free for them, essentially. And then you have, you know, obviously, if you want to add any value to the fact that you're making folks more productive at work and saving a bunch of hassle on hot and cold calls, should come out pretty positively for you. So that's the current model. But it really does vary because it depends on where you're set points were before and how your building was run before and what you're interested in doing as you roll out Comfy.
Wow, that's a really good story. And you weren't kidding about the donuts and the balloons and kind of the whole party thing, right? That you really do.
Oh yeah, no, we really do that. You know, buildings and facilities and stuff don't get enough love. So we like to try to make sure everyone knows.
No, that's a great one to watch. Well, that's terrific. So before we wrap things up, we'd like our guests to give our audience some takeaways, some things that they can think about. And maybe you could share with us some, you know, 3 to 5 things that you would suggest to anybody considering Comfy to come prepared with or ready to discuss to see if they're a good fit for you.
Absolutely. You know, I think the first thing is to really think about what you're doing to stay competitive in a marketplace in commercial real estate that's just continuing to be more and more, demanding of technology and of the amenities and interesting things that are offered to us in the rest of our lives. How are you staying equipped for that? And how are you really, you know, innovating on that front so that you're ahead? I think that's a big one that we see. I think for us, it's also, get ready to try something new. Comfy is a new thing. A lot of these technologies are new. And the folks that we work with, our clients, have really benefited a lot from saying, you know, there might be a way that we can improve our operations here. These computers are still in the 1990s, so maybe it's time to bring them 20 years up to speed with the rest of the world. So, you know, it requires sometimes a little bit of expanding the horizon. That's another big one. And I think also, you know, for us, we really want to know in going into a building that we're working with that we love working with facility management teams who are looking to improve their building. And we, you know, work on that a lot with folks. So if you're considering, you know, how am I going to start to find more faults and find more opportunities to save and, you know, really understand how to excel in my realm of responsibility here in managing the building and the HVAC systems and lighting and all of that, and you're ready to kind of, you know, open up to new ideas and to new new information about how your building's working, then we're a great fit. We love doing that. We spend a lot of time with our clients just trying to make ways for them to do their jobs easier and, you know, really be the heroes in the building that we think they are. So if that's something that's interesting to you and if it sounds like something that you'd enjoy doing, then we'd love to hear from you.
Well, those are some really good thoughts. And thank you again for the great insights, Lindsay. Tremendously interesting stuff you guys are doing. And as I said at the beginning, it's really nice to see some practical applications coming out for the things that the market's been talking about for several years now. And I think you guys are a terrific example. And we wish you all the best. We'll be watching for the Comfy app everywhere and hopefully coming to our building soon, certainly by next winter. And we'll also keep an eye out for you on your upcoming CDN tour if that happens. So. thank you again for Lindsay Baker joining us today. You'll find contact information for Lindsay and Building Robotics on our podcast page. As always, along with the downloadable takeaway and transcript of the broadcast, thank you for joining us on this episode of CRE Tech Talks, and I hope you continue to listen in.
Thank you again for listening to this broadcast of CRE Tech Talks. We hope you found today's session valuable. Remember to visit our podcast page at www.buildingengines.com/CRE Tech Talks to download today's transcript and key takeaways, as well as listen to other sessions and share with colleagues. We'll see you next time on CRE Tech Talks.